You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
After consultants suggested closing library branches to save money, Toronto-based novelist Margaret Atwood promoted a petition to save them. That petition now has 45,000 signatures. Atwood's involvement drew the ire of Toronto Mayor Rob Ford's older brother. Doug Ford suggested Atwood should seek elected office if she wanted to affect policy. He also boasted he wouldn't recognize the writer if she walked by him. Suffice it to say, cartoonists and bloggers have had a field day with the Barbarian at the Gates theme. More seriously, the library cuts are just a small part of the austerity measures proposed by the Fords. Carlo Fanelli worked part-time for the City of Toronto for the last decade. He recently wrote the article, Selling the City, Rob Ford's Toronto. And he has joined me by phone from Toronto to discuss the Rob Ford administration. Hello, Carlo, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's easy to parody the Fords with their almost deliberate Philistinism, but they must have appealed in some way to the electorate. What was the nature of the appeal?
They have indeed. Rob Ford was a longtime councillor in one of the suburban wards of Toronto, Etobicoke. And I guess one of the major things to consider leading up to his election was the background and context leading up to the October 25th election of this past year, 2010. The first was the 2009 civic worker strike we had here in Toronto, where about 30,000 civic worker strike workers from recreation to garbage pickup to administration went on strike. This was the second time since amalgamation in 1998. So that remained fresh in the minds of the electorate. And the second thing which was really major leading up to his election was the ongoing economic turmoil, basically what you mentioned in your introduction in terms of austerity and how a private sector-led crisis essentially has been redefined as one originated in, you know, overgenerous public services, bloated payrolls, unions, and basic inefficiency. So that was really the context leading up to his election. And his appeal was really the most orthodox of conservative talking points. You know, this goes on things like tax cuts, less government, more business investment, and basically making workers do more with less. This was captured in his now famous phrase, you know, putting an end to the gravy train. And throughout his, throughout and leading up to his election, he vowed that he would stand up to Toronto's municipal unions, privatize assets, and contract out services.
So Ford was elected, and has he carried through on his promise to make cuts?
Yes, he was elected on October 25th, 2010. And joining him were also 14 new council members to Toronto's 44 councillors. And although he promised not to raise taxes or cut services and vowing that he would find about $2 billion in so-called fat, we're increasingly seeing that this was a pure electoral fantasy. He was unapologetic throughout his campaign that he was open to everything in terms of privatization and cuts, and literally hundreds of things have been on the agenda. In order to undertake and see where these cuts should be had, in the spring of 2011, Ford and council spent $3 million in order to undertake what was called a core services review. This was undertaken by the accounting firm KPMG, whose task was to perform to undertake a performance and efficiency study to see where these cuts could be made. This included increasing fees as well as eliminating services. In short, KPMG basically recommended everything from selling off city assets and resources, such as old age homes and daycares, cutting grants for arts and culture, reducing snow removal and grass cutting, as well as funding for recreational and emergency funding for the elderly and disabled. Now, although there were literally hundreds of things put on the table, almost a year into his term, he's been able to do a number of things. This includes eliminating a $60 vehicle registration fee, which added to the city's coffers. He froze property taxes for 2011, which he was actually only able to do because of a $330 million surplus from the previous council. He also cut councillors' expense budgets by more than $20,000, reduced funding for libraries, as you mentioned, and there's currently a talk of closing another 8 libraries. He's eliminated bus routes and cut all departmental budgets by about 10%.
What kind of funding shortfall are they facing in Toronto right now overall after all those cuts and the freezes to the property taxes and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting because in addition to those cuts, things like community housing units have been sold off, a portion of waste collection has been privatized, They're also trying to sell off the Toronto Zoo and city theaters, and also studying privatizing things like daycares and nursing homes just to find revenue. And this really goes back to historical reasons. And then this had to do with the restructuring of city finances and administration over the course of the early 1990s. It's interesting to note, you know, while federal and provincial governments have a variety of flexible revenue sources, things like income, sales, corporate resources, import taxes, these kinds of tools which remain at their disposal whether or not they choose to use them, cities really rely on only about 8 cents that go back to them based on the taxes that on the their revenue sources. So for our cities, property taxes remain the major source of funding, and from this they must provide for things like public utilities, public works, parks and recreation, waste management, transit services, public housing, and a whole range of other social and community services. Literally, the list goes on. Now, this has led to a real structural deficit to the city, which basically because of the downloading which took place from corresponding federal and provincial governments, which shifted their burden onto the cities, this has left the city with in quite the predicament, right? So you either have to cut services or find new ways of generating revenue. And for Ford, part of his popularity, or I should say then popularity, has been to eliminate this so-called waste and fat. But what we've found, not only through the city's internal audits, but also as a result of KPMG's undertaking, there really is no fat to cut, and the real problem stems from this lack of funding in order to provide the services that Torontonians and really anybody who lives in any city across the country rely on.
Can you get into a little more detail about that lack of funding? What kind of funding crisis has the city been facing? You mentioned the province and the federal government have been downloading responsibilities onto the cities. Can you get into a little bit more detail there? What kind of services have they been downloading onto the cities?
Sure. Well, in the early 1990s and throughout, and later with the conservative government, provincial conservative government of Mike Harris here in Toronto, federally, things like the Canada Health and Social Transfer reduced the amount of funding that went to cities. And because of cost-sharing arrangements and constitutional and administrative distribution of tasks, because cities are constitutionally, you know, creatures of the provinces, they rely overwhelmingly on their funding from the provinces. So things that were once, the provinces were once responsible, such as a higher cost of the public transit, for example, or recreational or daycare or nursing, healthcare, you know, for the elderly and disabled in the city. These services, which the province formerly paid for in 1998, were downloaded onto the city. Now, the city of Toronto formerly existed of 6 independent cities, and what happened was the provincial government of Mike Harris amalgamated these 6 cities. So although amalgamation put together these 6 cities, there wasn't necessarily an increase in the fiscal capacity. So there wasn't necessarily an increase to provide for more of these citizens, although those funds were redistributed. Now, the McGuinty Liberals have slowly been uploading costs, but this really hasn't increased at the rate at which services were downloaded. This was one of the things McGuinty vowed to do in his recent election.
You alluded to the KMPG report and their recommendation for privatization. Are we seeing that unfold in Toronto?
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the KPMG report is that the Harper Conservatives actually have undertaken a similar core services efficiency studies, and they undertook theirs with Deloitte, and they recently paid $20 million for their review. Now, this is something that has been going on with KPMG for quite a while is that they actually recommend a number of things to be cut, and then they actually go back and see these things they actually are rehired once again to see these things being through. Now, although a number of these measures have been undertaken, we've seen things, the council actually just a few days ago voted to study seeing how financially viable selling off things like nursing homes and recreational care would be. Again, this has to do with decreasing funds from the provincial government in terms of subsidized recreational care, where formerly the provincial government paid a higher rate. Now the city has become responsible for this since amalgamation. So in order to deal with these offsetting expenditures, the city is looking to either privatize them or find ways to increase user fees. And again, most recently this includes things like, you know, one-time fiscal injections, like selling off the Toronto Zoo, eliminating costs like closing libraries, selling theaters, and other privatization initiatives.
Well, today I believe the Occupy Toronto protests will begin just as here in Vancouver we will have Occupy Vancouver. What are you expecting from those protests in terms of fighting the Ford agenda?
Yes, there have actually, as I mentioned, I alluded to earlier, while Ford was very popular leading up to his election with around 60% popularity just a few months after his election, a recent poll conducted by the Toronto Star newspaper showed that only about 27% of Torontonians would actually vote for Rob Ford if an election was held tomorrow. Many commentators have later also alluded to the fact that the election of Dalton McGuinty, as opposed to Conservative leader Tim Hudak here in Toronto, who was the front runner, has much to do with Rob Ford's austerity agenda and the linking of Tim Hudak with Rob Ford, and basically many of Toronto's ridings going to Liberals as well as a few new NDP ridings. Now, opposition has been rising in Toronto here. This has been most pronounced in the union movements, such as Campaigns for Public Services, anti-privatization, and things like grassroots democracy. But they've also been increasing in their breadth and depth with community initiatives, such as the Stop the Cuts and the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty and the Greater Toronto Workers' Assembly. Now, much of the Occupy Toronto protests, while being sparked by the events happening in New York and in Vancouver and nearby Ottawa as well, much of the internal, the citywide resentment has to do with very on-the-ground initiatives that are happening here in Toronto, which are only being increased by their intensity with some of the international events that are happening.
Carlo, good luck with Occupy Toronto and fighting Rob Ford. And thanks so much for joining us this morning.
A pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Carlo Finelli. He worked part-time for the City of Toronto for the last decade. He recently wrote the article Selling the City, Rob Ford's Toronto, and you can find that article at socialistproject.ca.